listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in La Mesa, California. For more information about Shepherd of the Valley, visit our website at svlc.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
So sing with me if you know the words. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Amen. Grace to you and peace from Jesus the Christ, who opens our eyes too. Amen. There are so many ways, there's so much going on in this text for today. It's such a long reading. I would like to focus on the pool where Jesus sends the man after he puts the mud on his eyes. I'd like to talk about that pool today and then how that ties in with our world and our lives as well. So first, Jesus puts mud on the man's eyes. Other years, I've talked about that great toast. Maybe you have said this too. I grew up with the toast, "Here's mud in your eye." My grandpa always used to raise a glass and, "Here's mud in your eye." That comes from this text here today. Here's to seeing the world in a new and a different way. It's really what we're saying. Do you all know that toast? Do you ever say that? You raised with that? I love that toast. Here's mud in your eye. Here is seeing things in a new and a healthy way. This mud in your eye miracle of Jesus, of giving sight to the blind man, is the sixth sign of Jesus in the Gospel of John. So we heard the first sign. Anybody remember? Water turned to wine. That was a couple weeks ago. And then this week we really jumped and skipped a bunch of chapters. So we've missed four other signs. But Jesus is always, it's all the signs are pointing to Jesus' divinity. All signs point to the divinity of Christ. And it's no coincidence that there are seven of them and that there are also 7 days of creation way back in the book of Genesis. That's no coincidence. And you could understand Jesus and these seven signs in the Gospel of John as being a recreation of the whole world. Jesus is not doing over again what God's already done and done well, done good. But these stories are refreshing the creation, renewing, redefining, helping us to see things even in God's creation in a new and a different way. And these stories are always about much more than just one person being healed. Or in the case of the feeding of the 5,000, one of the other signs of Jesus in John, it's much more than even 5,000 people being fed a long time ago. So today is the sixth sign. Jesus gives sight to the blind man, and it's wonderful on this Transfiguration Sunday, just before we enter into the valleys of Lent. Jesus puts mud on the blind man's eyes, and then he goes and he tells him, "Wash in the pool of Siloam," which is translated sent, like sending. He says, "Go wash in the sending waters. Go wash in the sent pool," S-E-N-T. What does it mean to be washed in the pool of sent? In the sending bath. Sounds a whole lot like baptism to me. I want you to pull out your worship folders. And every week, we divide our worship service into four parts. Many of you know this already. You know our four parts, our four movements of the worship service. There'll always be a skeleton to our worship service. It's the gathering. It's the word. It's the meal. And then it's the sending. And the way we do it in our bulletin is we have all four of those words, and then whatever section of the service we're in, those words are in all caps. Do you see that in the bulletin? What do you think is the longest section of those four sections? As you page through your bulletin, is it the gathering? Is it the word? Is it the meal? Or is it the sending? Just as you kind of eyeball it right now. What is the longest? Just shout it out. What's the longest part, do you think? The word, yeah? Or maybe the meal's pretty long. Lyle was at early service. So, it's the sending. It's a trick question. The sending is actually the longest part of our worship service. And do you know why? Besides Lyle and James and Gina, who are at early service? Any ideas? Why is the sending the longest part? It doesn't end. Yeah, exactly. It's going all week long. We continue in worship. Isn't that a wonderful idea? We go out. We say, go in peace, serve the Lord. We all walk out the doors and give each other a hug. But we're in worship as God's people all week long. And so the sending is actually the longest part of our worship service. I just love that. So again, what does it mean to be washed in the sending waters as we go out? In the pool of Siloam, the pool of sent. The blind man's, once blind man's story, gives us some ideas, I think, about what it means to be washed in the longest part of the worship service. So I'd like to just kind of list a few ideas that I think we get from this text. Looking at this text, first of all, being washed in the sending waters means being healed. Might sound obvious, but Jesus heals us too. What are your blind spots? Think about that this week. Pray about that this week. And as we move into this season of Lent, what are your blind spots? Know that Jesus puts mud in our eyes too and sends us out past that scent pool, those sending waters to be refreshed and renewed. We are healed too. It's like the word that we gather around and the meal that we gather around. This is the mud in our eyes when we come to worship on Sunday. So how's that mud going in your eyes right now? And then we go out right past the font and we are washed and we see the world. We are refreshed in this new way. Being washed means that we are healed too. It's not just a story about someone long ago. It's about us as well. Being washed in scent also means being honest. Being honest about our experiences and how they've changed us. I love the blind man's quote, and we just sang it from Amazing Grace. I once was blind, but now I see. He says, all I know, I don't know all the answers to these questions that the Pharisees are firing at me. Here's what I know. Once I was blind, and now I can see. Pay attention to your experiences and how those have shaped you. I feel like 9 times out of 10, when a person changes their mind about something, maybe you've got stories like that. Have you ever really changed your mind about something? I feel like 9 times out of 10, it's not because someone, you went to hear a lecture. Some doctrine was shoved down your throat and you said, you know what, that's true. I'm gonna swallow that hook, line, and sinker. It's almost always because you've had some experience that has shaped you and helped you to see things in a new way. All I know, for example, all I know is once I never really cared that deeply about protecting the environment. But then I spent a week hiking in the Rocky Mountains and camping and being in nature. Now I see it in a different way. All I know is that I was taught that gay people were bad and dirty and wrong. But then I met Lawrence. That's what I know. That's all I know. That's my experience. All I've ever known is that Christians are judgmental and insular and even cruel. I've heard this across generations. All I know is that Christians are just judgmental, insular, and even cruel people. And then I came to Shepherd of the Valley. Maybe you see things in a new way. The blind man reminds us to pay attention and to be honest about our experiences and how they affect us, how they change us. We could remain unchanged, actually. Just like the blind man, even though his sight was restored, he could have kept begging or staying in living the life that he had always lived, but he chose to do something new and different. This is true for us too, sisters and brothers in Christ. We are healed in this place, on this day, as we go out past these waters, and we could choose to just keep doing things the way we always have after this service and into the week, or we could let our experience actually change us. find ourselves seeing things in a new way. Our sight is restored. The blind man says it. All I know is that once I was blind, but now I can see. Being washed in the sending waters. It also means facing the oppression that will inevitably follow after a miracle has taken place. We see this a lot with Jesus. He heals someone and people don't believe it. They reject that person. The world kind of stays the same, even though the one person has been healed. Being washed in the sending waters, though, the pool of Siloam, sent, also means facing opposition, even aggression, and staying calm. I love how the blind man just, he stays calm. Did you see that? He just stuck to his truth. I can't tell you all the answers. Here's what I can tell you. Here's what I know is true. Even as this opposition comes and comes on strong, I mean, talk about intimidating to have these three Pharisees standing over this once blind man. How intimidating is that? And yet he is not swayed. He's not swayed by the violence, by the fury of these Pharisees. He just stays with his truth. Another thing we can learn from this text, and it really is more a parenthesis, but I think a really great one for us in our life together as church. We can learn from the pool of Siloam storm, being washed in the sending pool, it also means staying out of triangles. You know what that is? Triangulation. Triangulation, if I've got a problem with someone, if I've got a problem with Bill, I'm really picking on you today, Bill. If I've got a problem with Bill, I go to tell Bill about my problem by talking about it with Leslie. And I hope maybe Leslie will go tell Bill that I have an issue, but I don't want to upset Bill and I want to remain, you know, looking nice here. And so I say it to someone else and hope it gets back to you instead of just going directly to the person. That is in this text here too, as these Pharisees triangulate with the parents of the blind man. Did you catch that? And they said, go ask him. He could speak for himself. Go ask him. They stay out of the triangle. We can learn something from that, I think, just in general in life, but it happens in church too. Go ask him. Let him speak for himself. Finally, being washed in scent. Being washed in the sending waters. This is most important. What it means, what we can take from this text, it means worshiping Jesus. Sounds obvious on one hand, but he could have remained the same. He could have gone off and just, great, got new sight, gone out into the world. But he goes back, he has this connection, this relationship with Jesus, and it says he falls down and he worships him in verse 38. Lord, I believe, he says, and he worshiped him. On this Transfiguration Sunday, we too fall down and worship this Jesus. We entrust ourselves to Christ's mud touch and Christ's care for us and Christ's transformative healing once again this day. We give thanks for all that God has done for us. We don't just take it for granted. We have a chance to even think about little things like our sight, which is not a little thing at all. We take it for granted. We give thanks for all the ways that God has blessed us. We show that thanksgiving in our lifting up our tithes and our offerings and lifting up our songs of praise and our service and care for one another in this world. These are all signs of our thanksgiving. Worship, of course, means worthy. The word worship means worthy. Who is worthy of your sacrifices? People worship all kinds of things. All kinds of things we make sacrifices for and put our trust in. You see this all over the place. The blind man chooses to make his sacrifices, to put his trust in Jesus. In this Jesus who loves us, whether we fall down and worship and recognize him or not, actually. Whether we see Jesus or not. That's who the blind man worships, and we're invited to fall down again and worship this God. Whether we see it or not, we fall short. We always sing at preschool chapel, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And then the second verse we sing, Jesus loves me when I'm good, when I do the things I should. Jesus loves me when I'm bad, even though it makes him sad. It's true. It's true. Jesus loves us even when we fall short, even when we fail to worship Him, even when we take these gifts and these blessings for granted. This God still loves us. But friends, this gift of new vision is ours in a new way again this day. This pool, that one that's right over there, we are bathed in those ever-flowing waters of scent, of sending. And in that, in those waters, is the peace that passes all human understanding. That peace is ours again this day, and it always will be, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Shepherd of the Valley, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon, and to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.